Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Bring back Rashid Khalidi, professor of modern Arab studies at Columbia University, who's been listening all morning to Arab media describing the situation in Cairo. We've been talking about what sort of a turning point this is. And in the words of the Tunisian expatriate who we spoke with a moment ago, we've had this American model of democracy in our mind as we watch these demonstrations. What should the Obama administration, do you think, responsibly do in endorsing democracy across the region? The Bush administration, of course, with the saber of the invasion of Iraq behind him, called for the same sorts of things nearly 7 years ago.
Well, I think there's no question that the invasion of Iraq set back the cause of democracy in the Arab world, because the Bush administration, while destroying the governing system of the country, while firing the police, causing a state of total chaos, described that as democracy, and people were terrified. And I think autocratic regimes across the region took heart from that and were reinforced for a few years. I think it's true what your caller said. People in this region have very strong ideas about democracy. They've been apathetic for many years, and what's coming up in all of these demonstrations is very similar demands for democracy, for more social justice, for constitutional reform. And I think the Bush administration, there should be some accounting.
You mean the Obama administration?
Sorry, the Obama administration. Yeah, a mind slip there. People should be held to account. The people who said that if anything happens in these countries, crazy Islamists will take over, those people should be held to account. People who said you have to support repression, you have to export secret police and intelligence techniques, or the United States won't be safe. These people should be held to account. I think it's clear that there's a possibility for democratic change in several, at least, of these countries. I'm not saying it necessarily will go that way. All kinds of other things could happen. But if the United States continues to support the kinds of regimes it has supported, every one of the regimes that's being challenged today, whether in Yemen, in Tunis, in Jordan, or in Egypt, has been very strongly supported by the United States, including in its repressive actions. If we don't disassociate ourselves from our previous policies, I think that a movement that so far has not shown any particular signs of anti-Americanism. They're all internally directed. They're asking for tyrannical rulers to leave. They're asking for proper constitutions and for fair elections and for some social justice. Those movements will perhaps become more hostile to the United States, because the United States will not be helping the people to make their countries more democratic.
Are you saying that, Professor Khalidi, that the United States doesn't necessarily have anything to be concerned about, that we shouldn't be worried about a power vacuum in any of these countries, or that escalation of violence between police and the government and citizens will bleed over and become a matter of security for the United States?
I mean, look, there are very well-developed civil societies in countries like Tunisia and Egypt. There are some political parties. There is a very large middle class. I think that it is not up to us in any case to support unrepresentative, hated dictators. They are demanding that Mubarak leave. The longer we hang to his coattails, the longer we are likely to look like the country that supported the Shah almost up to the bitter end. I don't think that's going to serve us in the future. I'm not saying that this is going to be easy. It could be very, very messy. But the kind of sclerotic stability upheld by regimes of thieves who were sharing the goods among their families that were identified with the United States in the past, that did not help. That is what created this mess.
And there is
I think we have to change that policy.
And there's no scenario where political turmoil in these countries turns an Egypt into a Somalia or an Afghanistan that becomes this kind of classic safe haven excuse for, maybe bolstering anti-democratic forces.
That's right, John. You do perhaps want to worry about a country like Yemen, where what I've said is not necessarily the case. You do not have a large middle class. You do not have a developed civil society. You do not have a structure of constitutionalism and a respect going back 100 years. They were demanding democracy in Tunisia and accountability of the government in the mid-19th century. This is not something that came via Twitter and Facebook. The same thing in Egypt before the British occupied the country in 1882. I mean, this is something people ignore. These are countries with deep democratic traditions. Right. These are countries that have been thinking about constitutions and limits on executive power for 150 or 120 or 130 years. That's not the case in Yemen, but it certainly is a case in a country like Syria or Lebanon or Egypt.
Indeed.
Or Tunisia.
Well, they're straight from the mouth of the Edward Said, professor of modern Arab studies at Columbia University, Professor Rashid Khalidi. Thanks so much for being with us.
A great pleasure, John.